Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Herculean Physique, I'm proud to be speaking with Bill Hinburn of Super Strength Training. Greetings and welcome, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well, and you, sir?
I'm doing great. The weeks zoom by so fast. And
I looked
at the calendar, and it's like, oh, wow, a whole month has passed already. Anything new and exciting with Super Strength Training?
No, not really. Things are moving right along. Naturally, with the pandemic, waning to a certain point, people are training more so at home, and therefore they're seeking out, training information that they can utilize at home with basic equipment.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. The pandemic's on the rise again, according to the news. My mother had fallen, and she's in the hospital. And we had went to visit her today, and we had to wait in a very long line. They gave us a mask to replace the masks that we came in with, and only a certain number of people were allowed to each floor. And it took quite a while to get from the front door to the desk, and then it took a while to get back up to the room, and they were following very strict protocols and procedures, so I imagine that we are going to be taking some action that's going to be visible very soon.
Yeah, most likely. Then you have the outbreak of monkeypox.
Yes, I'd never heard of monkeypox. Some people said they've heard of it, and we've had it for a while floating around, but this is the first I'm hearing of it.
Yeah, I believe I heard about it many, many years ago, but nothing that, where there was an outbreak. But, of course, it probably was before we had the Internet and the social media and what have you,
Where you find out about everything all the time. I was thinking about our conversation last month, and one of the things that you shared about how bodybuilders are dying at alarming levels because of the way that contests are now judged and what people's expectations are, and how we've kind of like transcended the classical physique, and now we're looking at a cartoonish physique, almost a parody of bodybuilding.
Exactly. It's unfortunate. A lot of people, like I think you mentioned, how do we get back to the classical bodybuilding? Well, from the standpoint of how it all began, bodybuilding essentially was a byproduct, as is as far as being a competition.
Mm-hmm.
The oldest sport is wrestling. That is undeniably the oldest athletic activity. And in the late 19th century, you had many wrestling contests in Europe and throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
Although it wasn't all "quote unquote" wrestling. It was called by a number of different terms, but the wrestling was also a form of self-defense or combat, either one. And so, wrestling was in the modern day near the end of the 19th century, and then you had wrestlers, because of their body weight, activity became strong. And then they became strong men. So you had, you had wrestlers in many cases where they were betting and what have you, being the champion, and then the strong men, and there would be betting, and they would be getting paid to perform to amaze people.
Uh-huh.
And then you had a guy by the name of Sandow. not his real name, but nevertheless, Eugene Sandow. And he was a strong man. He started out in the around 1890 and did performing, but quite by accident, he discovered that people were more interested in his physique and the aesthetics, body build. Okay. So he parlayed that through a fellow by the name of Florin Ziegfeld, a big promoter of the Ziegfeld Follies and what have you. But Sandow was his first product that he sold, okay? And it became very famous. Sandow then took the approach of health, strength, and bodybuilding. And it was in that order because he promoted health throughout his life. Mm-hmm. So then we move on to, well, he had the first contest, the first bodybuilding contest in Great Britain in 1901. That was the world's first bodybuilding contest. And then a few years later, there was a contest held. A guy by the name of Al Treloar won the first Mr. America contest in 1903. Technically, it was a Mr. America contest because it was open to everyone in the United States or America. And then you had bodybuilding, a guy by the name of Bernard McFadden, who was big on health and strength and bodybuilding. In 1921, he held a contest for the world's most perfectly developed man. And a fellow by the name of Angelo Siciliano entered the contest and later changed his name to Charles Atlas. And the following year, he won in 1922. Each year, he won $1,000. Imagine how much that was in that era.
Yes.
And of course, he started his physical training course. But bodybuilding contests really didn't take off until the late 1930s. There were various contests around. In 1939, the first Mr. America contest was held, and then in 1940, the first AAU Mr. America contest was held. Then you have, and then it became an annual event. And then in 1950, the first NABBA, Mr. Universe contest was held. And this was in England. So you had these various contests. You had Mr. World, and you had the AAU contests, and you had the contests in Europe. And in America, a guy by the name of Joe Weider started a contest in 1965. And I believe, I'm not absolutely positive, but I believe that that was the first of all the contests I just mentioned where he offered a cash prize of $1,000, which is a lot of money in 1965. And the last I heard today in the recent Mr. Olympia contest, the first prize is $400,000.
Wow.
So you see, there's a lot of incentive for not only the first place cash prize, but there's also endorsements, you know, for supplements, equipment, clothing, what have you. And unfortunately, during this time, sometime I think in the 60s, but I'm not absolutely certain, there was, up until that point, there was a physical strength test also utilized in these contests, you know, using barbells and stuff like that. But it was dropped, so you didn't have to have any physical strength, technically. You know, you were just a model. So in all this time, the contests the physiques that won and what have you were all subject to the whims of the judging.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody has any complaints about how these bodybuilders look any time in the past up to today, you blame the judging. It's as simple as that. And even more so because, and I'll use again the Mr. Olympia contest, the exorbitant amount of money that's at stake. And I don't think this it's any surprise to anybody, or at least it shouldn't be, that there's pens used, you know, physically drugs.
Right.
Some type of, you call them steroids if you like, or what have you. And this sort of thing is expensive, you know. So they will spend a lot of money to enter the contest and win the $400,000, you know, grand prize. If you were to ask me, how do we bring back the classical bodybuilding? Well, first thing you're going to have to do.
That is something I am going to be asking you, because that's a very big concern of mine.
Yes. Well, I wanted to give you a basic background of how this all came to be. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Bodybuilding is a byproduct of, you know, theoretically, of health and strength. Okay. First, you have good health. Then you develop tremendous strength. And the byproduct should be an aesthetic physique. Well, the health has gone to hell in a handcart, because a lot of these guys are dying at under 50 years old. And it's embarrassing to look at the situation as to how they die. Okay. It could be cancerous growths. It could be usually a circulatory problem. And they're dying off. So how do we correct the problem? First of all, you get rid of the judges. I don't know where these judges are, you know, where they come up with choosing these guys, but I don't think that they're the best choice to do the job. Second thing is get rid of the money. Unfortunately, human nature being what it is, the greatest motivator is money. Want to know why people do things? Follow the money. It's very simple. The other thing is, that's from a competitive standpoint of view. If you want the physiques to be appealing to the general public, you have to approach the general public. You know, I hear a lot of people complaining about the physiques and all this stuff. Well, there is evidently a market for it, because somebody has to come up with, you know, Wiener's been gone now for a number of years. Somebody has to come up with $400,000.
Right.
So somebody's buying the tickets to these shows, or these shows are getting sponsored in the advertising. The money is coming somewhere to come up with the with these prizes. So if you want the physique to appeal to the general public, and in a contest, then the general public has to have a say as to what these physiques should look like. So rather than have a panel of, who knows, I don't know, 8 or 10 judges, I guess. I don't know how many there are. Rather than have that, you should have the general public, people who want to vote. Vote for, you know, what's behind door number 1, door number 2, door number 3, whatever. But have someone vote like that. And you would be amazed at how the winning, you know, first place, second place, third place, fourth, fifth, whatever, how that would change. It would change dramatically. Because like you said, I think you mentioned this, or maybe not, but anyway, the physiques today are looking cartoonish.
Yeah, they are.
And they're very unpractical. I mean, who's going to buy clothes for that? You have to go to Omar the Tent Maker. I mean, literally, you know. You might as well buy a teepee and wrap it around you. They're enormous. The vascularity, that can't be healthy. I don't care how you cut it. And like I said earlier, these guys are dying from pulmonary problems, cancer, et cetera.
Even from diuretics, there have been deaths of very young bodybuilders that the cause seems to have been diuretics. There were other ones where a condition where they didn't report what substances they were taking interacted with some medicine that they needed, and it wound up killing them. And I've been so surprised of the youth, you know, people in their 20s up until their 50s. So a lot of people in that age group are just dying. And some of them died like prior to going on stage in a competition. It's really frightening.
Absolutely. My contention or my approach to it is this. It's very simple. It's their life. It's their body. If that's what they want to do, they should have the freedom to do it. It's, you know, I mean, it isn't something where people aren't warned.
Right.
They're very much aware of what's going on, and I'm sure that if they do any of the steroids or any of these drugs or whatever they're using, I'm sure that someone somewhere, a physician or something, should be involved and explaining the consequences, what could happen. Okay. You know, that's just, I'd like to think that is common sense, although common sense is not so common for anybody that wants to get involved in that. And so, you know, like I say, if that's what they want to do, fine, you know. But what's unfortunate, again, is the general public has been onto this stuff for years. They know what's going on. They know that these guys, you know, that's not just genetics out there. And then, of course, around 1980, 81, or late 70s, women's bodybuilding.
Yes.
You know, and it's obvious that these women are using something. But that's how it goes. I don't have an answer for you other than what I just offered. You know, you have to change the judging and get rid of the money. You know, you're rewarding these people to you know, they're going for the money, and they don't care what they look like. In their own mind, maybe they feel it's appealing. You know, I don't see how the judges feel it is, but
that it's I look back at you know, my own inspirations in bodybuilding, and part of the inspiration came from the strongmen that you were talking about in Greece.
Yeah.
In Greece of my youth, at least, they were called machiste, and if that sounds like machiste, it's no accident. The word meant strongman. And these guys used to go from town to town and perform strongman stunts, and I spoke to one of them. I think it was the last one living. And a couple of times when he made his way into the village where my family's from, and they learned a lot from him. And there's, of course, a famous one, Kutalyanos. Many songs are written about Kutalyanos, and that he chews iron, that he's a lion, but he's afraid of his wife. Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of songs that were sung about him. And he was billed as Hercules. He was one of the Herculeses, and that's another name that these Machistes were known as. They were known as Heraclides, and many of them took on the name of Hercules or Samson or, you know, a name like that, similar to what happened in the Sword and Sandal movies. And so that was one thread, and then the Sword and Sandal movies were another thread where the idealized form was embodying some hero from mythology or from history and so forth. And then there was also a spiritual dimension to that. In antiquity, the male form, you know, the lean and muscular male form, classically proportioned, the human form was thought to be fit if it's cultivated to embody the gods. And the word enthusiasmos means possessed by a god. So, you know, people are enthusiastic about something. And the exploits of these athletes survived, as did the exploits of warriors and political leaders and other people who you normally expect history to talk about. These athletes also got immortalized in poems and statues and so forth. And there was even a spiritual discipline called theurgy that sought to embody the gods in statues, and these statues that depicted the perfect human form, but also the perfect human body could be a vessel or vehicle for the divine and help bring it into the world. So in terms of me, all of those ideals and ideas, you know, percolated, and that's what motivated my life. And of course, I wanted to be as much as possible like these mythical muscle men. And I read material from the folks that you mentioned and from you to help me on this particular quest. And recently, now that I'm in my 60s, I was rethinking everything. And I decided to drop the whole modern bodybuilding because I don't want to look like that. I never wanted to look like that. And if I had wanted to look with that, I'm stubborn and persistent. So I would have devoted time and energy to, you know, pursuing that particular path. And then I started examining the whole thing, like, what are my motivations for doing this in my 60s and so forth? Do I still want to do it? And I found that what my initial motivation was still true. It wasn't something I picked up from anybody else that was reinforced by my social group of any kind, because bodybuilding until fairly recently was thought of as something suspect, and it wasn't very reputable. So it wasn't something that, you know, I was encouraged to pursue. And I started thinking about Steve Reeves and Reg Park and, you know, those guys, you know, before steroids, and how they went back for inspiration to the ancient Greek statues, and a lot of their poses were taken from these statues. So I decided again to focus on that particular area. And Siciliano, who you mentioned, aka Charles Atlas to most people, he was inspired by a statue of Hercules in the Brooklyn Museum. And then his system dynamic tension was inspired by lions at the Brooklyn Zoo. He was watching them stretch, and he saw how muscular they were. So his initial dynamic tension system was basically mimicking what lions did. So that mythology and that animal totemism is mixed up with the Charles Atlas stuff as well. And so I know that, as you said, some people find what is coming out now appealing, and the prizes are very high. So, you know, the cost is going to be very high, and the people are doing it of their own free will. And I respect their free will also. But just like natural bodybuilding kind of spun off and became its own thing. And in some ways, that's as freaky as regular bodybuilding. If you start looking at the details and the experiences of the people, you know, who call themselves natties or natural bodybuilders. But yeah. I was thinking maybe there should be something new for people who like the classical physique, who like the physique of the ancient statues of the sword and sandal films. Let's see if we could do something with that. So anyway, that's where my idea was going. How could we start something like that? And it would tie into so many different things that people might be interested in. Like, for instance, sword and sandal cinema. My groups on Facebook alone have nearly 30,000 souls in them, just the sword and sandal ones, if you added them all together. So there are people who resonate with that. So how can we start, like, basically redefine it or do a do-over or rewind to a different time and see maybe people, instead of trying to change the existing sport, let it evolve, you know, where it wants to go and just do something else and reawaken that love of the cultivated form.
Yeah. Yeah, undoubtedly when you have a contest, you have to have some sort of a way to measure the winners from the losers, you know, other than just having, you know, bowling trophies. Everybody gets a trophy and everybody goes home. But That's just what I, you know, like I say, you've got to do something with the judging, you know, and seeing as how the public is constantly, you know, saying this is not what we want, et cetera, best thing to do is just pull away and have contests that are judged solely by the general public. I don't know how you'd vote. Probably through the internet or what have you. I really don't know. But I think that that's the only solution. The people that are complaining, then we'll then change it, you know. Simple as that. It's dying a slow death. There's not many contests anymore. You know, there used to be a contest. A lot more contests. It used to be Mr. World, and I don't even know if they exist anymore. The AAU Mr. America is gone, and in order to bring those back, or what have you, you have to change things around. If you don't, then you can expect the same result.
And why did the contest start disappearing? Do you know? I haven't really followed contests in years. I used to back in, I guess, when I was in high school and as a young adult, Parisno and Arnold and those guys, Serge Oliva and those guys were, and Mike Thane and...
Well, there used to be a number of contests. Like I say, you know, you had Mr. Galaxy, you had Mr. You had areas of the country, you know, Mr. Pacific Coast. I don't even know if they have that anymore. And you had Mr. Eastern Pennsylvania or whatever. You had a number of contests. You know, I don't see many contests anymore. The biggest ones that have prevailed now, of course, like I said, Mr. Olympia, which, oh, incidentally, you've had a Mr. Olympia contest for, well, like I say, since 1965. And unfortunately, you can have multiple winners. So a lot of these guys will win seven or eight times. I think out of the 50, what has it been now? Plus years, anyway. You've only had 14 or 15 winners. You know. So that makes it kind of boring. 57 or 56 years. Out of the 56 years that it's been held, okay, you've only had about 15 winners.
Wow.
You know. So... That gets a bit redundant, you know, every year. He's won two in a row. He'll probably win three in a row, and that discourages guys from competing, you know, because it's an expensive proposition, like I said earlier. You know, that's just how it goes. And the other thing that's unfortunate is you have these Mr. Natural contests or what have you, and the guys are nowhere near as big in the muscle,
right,
you know, bulk or what have you, and they are criticized and ostracized and penalized and every other thing from, you know, the other people that are big on the traditional contests, tune figures.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have that to contend with, and essentially, they don't; those types of contests don't last very long. You know, I mean, there'll be a flash in the pan. You know, they'll go two or three, maybe 4 years, and then just be gone.
That's a shame. I wonder what will arise to take its place as we move forward into the
digital. I don't know.
Maybe it's, as you said, it'll be online and virtual, and people can vote anonymously, and that might take the place of it, like you suggested.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to say. Money is the motivator, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Take the money out of the equation. It's like if you've ever played penny ante poker, okay? You got some nickels or pennies or maybe even quarters on the table, okay? Up
mm-hmm.
until that point, you're playing for nothing, okay? Once
uh-huh.
you put money on the table, on some people, I swear, a switch goes on. And they become extremely competitive. Well, you're only talking nickels and dimes. What is this about? But that's how they are.
So we need to find a way of bringing money into this then to attract people who might want to go back and win big prizes. I doubt if we'll start off with a $400,000 surprise, but it is possible if the other contests can do it.
Well, the thing you have to do is a judging panel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like the physique, you blame the judges. They're the ones who elected the winner. Just them, okay? How do they arrive at this? You mean to tell me looking like that is acceptable? You see? There's the problem, you know.
So we need judges who wanted who feel that a more classical bodybuilding physique would be appealing and appropriate. So we'd have to find people who understand that and who would use those criteria for judging physiques. And it's been done in the past, so we can definitely go back and look at what they were looking at when they judged these contests.
Yeah. You know, it's, and bodybuilding is very popular, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Charles Atlas with his physical training course, he won the contest of world's most perfectly developed man, okay? And at the same time that contest was held, they had another title, World's Strongest Man or what have you. I can't remember the exact title. But nobody today remembers that person. You know, his name was Anton Matasek. And that's what he won. You know, and It all comes about the notoriety
mm-hmm.
and what have you comes about through making people aware that this person exists. For example, Steve Reeves, okay, one of the most popular bodybuilders in the bodybuilding world. He's also well-known in the real world. You know, people that don't have any interest in bodybuilding because of the movies.
Right.
Reg Park is another one. He became very, very popular in the bodybuilding circles, but he's even popular today. Why? He did 5 Hercules movies.
Right.
And then we have Arnold Schwarzenegger, okay? You know, if he would have stopped with just bodybuilding and never went on to movies and never went on to politics and whatever else he's into, nobody'd know him.
Mm-hmm.
Just the bodybuilding world, that, you know, everybody, you know, swoons over
pumping iron.
Yeah, pumping iron and Conan the Barbarian and all this stuff, you know. They know about it because of the movies, you know. So
that's very true.
Yeah, but as far as I'm concerned, a physique, and this is just my point of view, and as many other people probably share, you guys with a physique like Steve Reeves or Frank Zane, you know, it's a pleasant physique. You know, and then you have to understand women have to enter into this, okay?
Right.
A lot of kids when they're teenagers are working out because what? Because they want to be better at sports. Or they want the girls, or they don't like their skinny body, which is what happens usually when a young boy goes into puberty. You know, he begins to grow very quickly. His bones grow and what have you. He becomes very skinny. And he has a metabolism of a blast furnace, you know. I mean, he can step over a ham sandwich and develop strength. But even with that situation, you know, if the girls like the physique, then that's a big plus. Then more barbells are sold. You know.
That's true.
You know, that's where you're at. You have to change the parameters, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, you know. I mean, these guys weigh 300 pounds, you know.
Yes.
That's insane, you know. And the other thing is, you know, they can train like that and they can maintain a physique like that, but there's going to come a time, and it's usually after they're 50 years old, that you can't keep doing that.
No.
And especially with the pharmaceuticals. You just can't continue that, you know. And it's better to train down, because carrying all that extra weight, and I've heard it from the guys constantly, yeah, well, I don't have any fat, but I weigh, you know, 220 pounds. Especially if I start talking about something which is a real taboo, and that's the BMI,
mm-hmm.
body mass index. I simply tell them, your body mass index is measuring body mass. It doesn't care whether it's fat, bone, muscle, what you had for breakfast, hair, sinew, cartilage. It doesn't make any difference. If it's sensitive to gravity, it's going to be measured. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I agree with it entirely? No, I don't. However, a physician will say, you reach a certain age, and it's usually about 50, your circulatory system, having to pump the blood through more and more and more capillaries, is not a good thing. It puts wear and tear on your pulmonary system, not to mention your other life-sustaining organs. Okay, that's what the physician is concerned about. That's why the first thing you do when you walk in the doctor's office is what? Step on the scale.
Right.
And then the blood pressure, then the pulse, you know, beats per minute and what have you, the temperature, vital signs, all right? But that
mm-hmm.
stepping on the scale is a measurement, okay? And yes, we can have discussions about the health of the individual, you know, and I've heard this 100 times. And I've known people. I've known guys that are skinny as a beanpole and their blood pressure is sky high, or they have cholesterol, or they have problems with diabetes, okay, the borderline mm-hmm. diabetes or whatever, okay? My God, they're not carrying any extra fat. They're not carrying any extra weight. But those are the parents that they chose. In many cases, it's in their DNA. And then I've known guys that are over 300 pounds. Their cholesterol is perfect. Their blood pressure is perfect, and they have no signs of diabetes. So go figure, okay?
Yeah.
But I will tell you this, and it's not just my point of view necessarily, it's physicians, okay? Carrying extra weight will aggravate the big three, the high blood pressure, the diabetes possibility, and the cholesterol. It will aggravate it. In other words, if you're starting to ride the line, losing some of that weight can be very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, you can argue it all you want. You can say, well, you know, you can see I've got a six-pack. You can see my abs. Well, that's fine.
But
the doctor doesn't care if he can see your abs. He cares about the blood being pumped.
That's a very important distinction to make, and thank you so very much for making it, because that comes up a lot in conversations that I have with people, both on and off the podcast, hey, I'm healthy, I lift weights, this is muscle, it isn't fat, and they're telling me this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, no, you know, they're looking at the overall weight, they're not looking at the proportions of fat to muscle.
You know, you can have an argument with these people, and everybody has an opinion. Arguing opinion is futile, you know.
Right.
They have a point of view based on, you know, their life experiences, plus a lot of people have an opinion based on an agenda. You know, they believe a certain thing because of... what they've got going, you know. Bodybuilders will always, you know, favor bodybuilders over Olympic lifters or strongmen or anything like that, you know.
Yes, and that's all, we've talked about it many times before. That's a challenge too when you get into bodybuilding or strength building. It's not that there isn't directions, a book of directions. There's tons of different books of directions, each telling you a different thing. And the credentials of the people making these pronouncements and recommendations are very similar too. So it's not like somebody's has a more educated perspective than someone else. The education seems equal. And as you pointed out, sometimes the motives become very suspect. When you see, like you've said, that there's money involved and that their perspective is based on an agenda that may or may not be true.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a quest for each person to trying different things to see what works for them and for how long. And I've been very open about my own journeys. I gave myself diabetes by following a pre-steroid bodybuilding diet that was very prevalent.
Yeah.
We drank a gallon plus of milk every day, and you ate oranges, and then you exercised for like a certain number of hours twice a day. And I will say that for the first year, it worked like a charm. I looked fantastic. I was huge. And I was very content with it until I started falling down the stairs. And then that happened often enough where I went to the doctor. And then I lost a lot of that muscle very, very quickly. It was very alarming. I could barely walk for a while.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So, again, I wasn't, not that I haven't done unhealthy things in my life. I've done plenty of those as well for periods of time in my life. But I actually, by trying to follow the healthiest bodybuilding diet I could find before they had steroids, I was consuming so much sugar through the milk and the citrus that, whatever diabetes was in there got triggered.
Yeah. Well, I can understand that. Yeah,
and
it's,
then go ahead.
It's a funny thing though. When you do realize that, you know, what you have been doing when you're young, you can do things when you're young, and you get away with a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get older, it becomes unforgiving, and it you just can't. You can't do it any longer. You know, that's the unfortunate thing.
There are some cave paintings that are fairly old, and they show Hercules wrestling with old age. And
yeah.
if there was a story behind this, it's lost. And the pottery seems to tell conflicting parts of the same story or different stories. Who knows? But in some of the accounts, you see Hercules wrestling with old age, and he's wrestling with old age. And then in other accounts, you see him in old age like having a conversation, like they're talking like old friends. And I didn't really understand that until I reached my 50s and couldn't do the things I was doing before for a variety of reasons. And I saw that, basically when you first confront becoming older, you do everything you can to fight it. You know, you take vitamins, you do different exercise routines, you change your diet around, you take supplements, you might go so far as to have surgeries or to take medicines. But then, you get to a point where you come to grips with the fact that you're getting older and that's what it is. And okay, find out, what the new normal is for you and embrace that and do what you can with these new circumstances, and you're no longer fighting it, that you get peace of mind. And then you're working out because you like to work out. You're not going to compete in any contests. You're not going to, be in any movies where you're going to take off your shirt. But hey, you've spent a life enjoying this, and it does have many benefits. So just do it because you love doing it, and there doesn't have to be anything else attached to it.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
So are you the site? I've been visiting your site because I think I mentioned in the last program or in the one before, I'm going to be doing a honoring of certain people, especially Reg Park, who I still think has the most perfect male physique in my standard. And he's been a lifelong inspiration to me. He's no longer around for me to say thank you, but I could do a tribute and revisit a lot of his, his 5x5 system and so forth. I can't handle the heavy poundages anymore, but I could adapt it to what I can do. So I'm going to be ordering some Reg Park stuff. I have a bunch of stuff that you've published, and I'll be doing that. And so... anything new coming out with Reg Park?
No, not at this time. But I've got something in mind. I won't divulge what it is until it's available.
Okay. And you have a lot of obscure things that I've enjoyed. Like you have the whole thing with muscle control.
Yeah.
And it's similar to dynamic tension in some ways, but it's very dissimilar in other ways. And again, it's not gonna make you look like Mr. Olympia, but it does contribute toward building your muscles. And you don't really need any equipment. It's something you can do. Once you figure out how to do it, and it's not that hard. There are plenty of diagrams and explanations. You could think up your own exercises and or do the ones that you're given in whatever order you like, and it gives you a pretty decent workout, like isometrics do and isotonics do. And there's all sorts of things that folks who don't think that they can get a muscular physique. Charles Atlas might not, again, he might not be a modern bodybuilding contest winner, but in his time, he was the most perfectly developed man, according to Bernard McFadden. And a Charles Atlas type body is available without any type of equipment. And so the classical bodybuilding physique is not unattainable to most people. You just need some dedication of a little bit of time each day and, you know, find out which diet works best for you and whether you're a morning person and an evening person and just play until you find out what hurts. And what heals and what builds and what doesn't accomplish anything.
Yeah, that's true. And that's how you, you know, discover anything is by trial and error. You know, that's the best way. What may work for someone else does not, I repeat, does not necessarily mean it translates to working for you, but you should consider it as a method that may work for you. You know, and then again, every routine works until it doesn't.
Right. and that happens. There are several systems of exercise I love doing, like the X3. But every now and then, I just can't do it anymore. I get burnt out on it. I have to put it away. And then sometimes I'll be interested in using it again in a short time. Sometimes a long time passes. I'm never dissatisfied with the progress that I make with it. And I really enjoy using it. But like everything else, you know, you reach a point where you get saturated, and then you're just going through the motions. And if you're just going through the motions, you're not accomplishing anything. Might as well do something that thrills you. So that's when I look for new things to play with and try out keep the interest going. And that's why it's great what you do, because you preserve a lot of different ways of doing things written by a lot of different people. So you really can't run out of things to try.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's there's just so many variables: your age, where you are in your training. Are you a beginner, intermediate? How long have you been training? 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years? That all has bearing. And genetics. Okay, you can argue that, but it's true. Genetics play a big part. It is not the end-all, be-all, you know, it just isn't. You can have poor genetics and still have great potential because you have desire.
Right.
Okay. I've known people with the greatest genetics in the world, okay? Well, they have no interest in training.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just going to be where they're at. And, you know, there's no how should I say?
No motivation to cultivate or to go to the path.
There just isn't, you know. It's unfortunate. But that's how it goes, you know. You can have people that have great genetics. They can have desire, but they don't have the time, or they don't have the food. Okay, they can be poor. You can also have a situation where they, you know, the equipment is not available to them. So that's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, and I probably offered this up a number of times. Maybe you remember me mentioning it. It's like a poker hand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You've been dealt a certain hand, you know, and you know this is it, and you have strong suits, you have weak suits. That's how it is.
How you play it, and that's what you have totally under your control.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I'm looking at the clock. We're nearing the end of today's conversation. Bill, thank you.
You're very welcome.
And I enjoyed our conversation as always. How can people contact you? And where can they go to look at your catalog and subscribe to your newsletter?
Well, you can go on the internet and you can type in superstrengthtraining.com. And my website will pop up, and you'll see these little boxes. Sign up for my free daily newsletter. And you just type in your first and last name on the first line, and the second line is email address, and click send, and you're good to go. And I have a number of products on my website. The usual products that I carry, and then, of course, I have the rare items, one-of-a-kind, backdate issues. I have what I call my scratch-and-dent page. I have some publications that might have slight water damage, or they might wrinkled, or, you know, something that's not perfect, something that you wouldn't expect to get in the mail for the full price. But they're all complete, perfectly readable.
Awesome. I continue to be a visitor. I continue to be a believer. And I have among my treasured possessions some of the older issues of your catalog. The catalogs are very retro and very well worth reading. I'm a subscriber to the newsletter. And again, thank you so very much for everything that you've done for the hobby and everything that you've done for me personally. You're an excellent resource, and you're a phenomenal person, Bill.
Thank you very kindly. That is, you made my day, and I'm glad to help. I'm glad to get the word out there, and I appreciate what you're doing. I listen to your show regularly, and you have a wide variety of topics. We're certainly not going to solve all the problems of the world.
Nope.
But I think in many cases we shed more light on what I think is very, very important.
Thank you for your kind words, and thanks to everybody who tuned in. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. We're going to close with Mighty Elohim by Linnell Griffin.